Continuing Helen Wright's book, Humanity's Divinity. They find outlet through us. But the problem is dead if we refuse to let it flow out from us. A problem is the universal belief in two powers. If we know infinite good is omnipotent, we destroy the problem in the only place where it existed, namely in the universal human mind. Evil will disappear from our experience only as good is recognized and takes evil's place. The consciousness of our true self is on the high road of unselfed love, self-denial, self-discipline, self-forgetfulness. Let us work diligently to be the self which is identified with God. To this end, our textbook reminds us, quote, "The vital part, the heart and soul of Christian Science is love. Without this, the letter is but the dead body of science, pulseless, cold, inanimate." We can reach our true selves only through love. Love is the principle that we are, as Mrs. Eddy tells us in the first edition. Hypnotism tells us we are sinful mortals, born of the flesh. But through the first and second coming of the Christ, we are awakening from this hypnotic Adam dream. Jesus and Mrs. Eddy came to show us the road human beings must traverse to emerge from the sense of life as physical with its pleasures and pains in order to gain the heavenly realm of consciousness. Wherever heaven is where one's true identity must be found. That road is the denial of false selfhood. It is up to each one of us to uproot every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, we read in Matthew. Only if we do this uprooting are we able to accept infinite good's offer of its divine nature, our true identity, that has been laid at our feet. If we don't do this uprooting, are we Christian Scientists? It is up to us to defend ourselves against our own false sense of ourselves. We must know ourselves before we can know others and minister to human needs. You uncover sin not in order to injure, but in order to bless the corporeal man, we read in Science and Health. We should be grateful and happy to have our sins uncovered. Quote, "The conceptions of mortal erring thought must give way to the ideal of all that is perfect and eternal. Good's creation will finally be seen as the only true conception of being, but only as we are cleansed from secret faults." When I pray, quote, "Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me, and rule out of me all sin," unquote, do I see that I have to do the letting? What hinders me other than faith in things material? Am I sincere when the next minute I forget it and let something unlike God rule my thoughts? A Christian Scientist's goal should be to glorify infinite good rather than seeking only physical harmony and healing. Disease is but the image of a lie. "What is disease?" Mrs. Eddy asked a student, who answered correctly. Then she said, "Yes, disease is but the image of a lie. It is not matter or a part of matter. It is but the result of a falsehood, of hypnotism. As Jesus said, it is but a liar and the father of lies. There is no truth in it. Disease, sickness, and sin are to be recognized as the image of wrong thought, and seeing it thus, it is destroyed." What does it mean that disease is the image of wrong thought? It means to avoid it, we have to reform ourselves. If for a moment we could look completely away from our human personality with all its pettiness, selfishness, weakness, foolish pride, appetites and passions, and see as Jesus and Mrs. Eddy saw, at that moment we would consciously be one with our true being, infinite good. Let's totally reverse these errors, remembering that the body improves under the same regimen which spiritualizes a thought, as Mrs. Eddy says. If God is all, there can be no reality in error, and we shouldn't bow down to it. Our work is to keep our thoughts of self on the highest plane we know. We must line up with our divine principle, from which we may draw all that is necessary to take us to the pinnacle of accomplishments. Quote, "The divine mind, not matter, creates all identities, and they are forms of mind, the ideas of spirit, apparent only as mind, never as mindless matter." Unquote. A practitioner, in treating a case, does not acknowledge reality in the picture the patient presents, but keeps in mind the spiritual perfection. Infinite good forms the individuality of men and women, and that form is the only real form of the patient and of you and me. When we correct material belief, we will become aware of this new spiritual form. But we don't become aware of it if we go blithely on believing in matter forms. Consciousness constructs a better body when faith in matter has been conquered, we read in Science and Health. The fundamental error is faith in things material, for this trust is the unseen sin, the unknown foe, from Retrospection and Introspection. This faith in things material is the great obstruction that stands in our way of being aware of our true identity. It holds our thought to an identity that infinite good did not give us, and which we must grow out of before realizing what we truly are. More and more, we must think of ourselves as the kind of man that is born of spirit. Then we will become aware of the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with infinite good's ideas, reflecting infinite good in countless spiritual forms. It is here, among those countless spiritual forms, that our own forms are. In reality, can we be anywhere else? As Christian Scientists, how far have we gone in showing ourselves or the world that this way of life is within reach of man's consciousness here? Our task is to become love by learning error's unreality. This means casting out fear and every negative thought. Divine love unmasks evil, animal magnetism. When spiritual understanding removes the mask, we find nothing is present but divine love. The note on which Mrs. Eddy closes Science and Health on page 578. Chapter 11. To destroy seeming error, we must understand it. In 1902, Mrs. Eddy told the Board of Education, "The only excuse for teaching is to teach quietly how error is to be destroyed." To teach students in a class without teaching them how to handle animal magnetism, hypnotism, is like sending soldiers into battle with brass buttons and braid, but with no ammunition for their muskets. This is a mental age. Malpractice would dominate, and around the world today, Satan seems to be in the saddle. Therefore, unless Christian Scientists are awake to it and alert to hold error in check, it would hold back Christian Science for centuries. To prevent false thoughts from coming to mind, I must remember that I am a spiritual being in the world of reality. I am now in possession of the kingdom of heaven. Spiritual understanding reveals the truth that I have always been free. Mrs. Eddy demonstrated this when she got Mary out of the way, and for the first time in human history, through her life and her writings, showed evil to be unreal. Finding out that evil is not real enables us to be one with infinite good. Mrs. Eddy's work was twofold, including both the revelation of truth and the uncovering of error. This meant explaining what reality is not, as well as what it is. Growing away from error involves an understanding of animal magnetism, hypnotism, aggressive mental suggestion, which used the evidence of the physical senses to enslave man. To handle error, we have to first face it and understand it. Mrs. Eddy instructs us, a knowledge of error and of its operation must precede that understanding of truth which destroys error. Until the entire mortal material error finally disappears, and the eternal verity, man created by and of spirit, is understood and recognized as the true likeness of his Maker. Unquote. Sin constitutes the physical concepts. Retrospection and Introspection states, sin existed as a false claim before the human concept of sin was formed. Hence, one's concept of error is not the whole of error. The human thought does not constitute sin, but vice versa. Sin constitutes the human or physical concept. Where did this false claim come from? When Mrs. Eddy teaches that matter cannot create, but that it has a mental cause, what does she mean? What gave matter a mental cause? A sense of evil is supposed to have spoken, Mrs. Eddy tells us, been listened to, and afterwards to have formed an evil sense that blinded the eyes of reason, masked with deformity the glories of revelation, and shamed the face of mortals. What was this sense? Error versus truth. First, a supposition. Second, a false belief. Third, suffering. Fourth, death. Where did this false sense come from? Certainly not from God. But Mrs. Eddy has told us that God, mind, is the only generative power. If the original sin, which originated in matter, was self-created, then according to logic and reason, there must be two powers, one good, one evil. But since the infinite good is the only generative and regenerative power, there cannot be another power. What is she saying here? Certainly not that God is the creator of matter. She is forcing us to the only rational conclusion, namely, that God, mind, is the creator of man. Quote, man is never God, but spiritual man made in God's likeness reflects God, unquote. We have learned it is God, mind, the only power that gives the spiritual man consciousness. Mrs. Eddy, unlike the theologians, teaches that infinite good never made a physical man called Adam, but that infinite good, mind, spirit, made man in the image of mind, spirit. Therefore, the man God made is mental and spiritual. It must be the human or physical concept of this spiritual man who is guilty of giving matter a mental cause. Adam, the physical corporeal man, is the manifestation of a mistaken concept of God. There could not be any other source from which evil and matter could start, except from the suppositions entertained by the corporeal man. Why? Because apart from God, who does not know evil or matter, there did not exist, before the beginning of evil and matter, any other thought force than that of the spiritual creation. Isn't it evident that if evil and matter are not self-existent, and if they have a mental cause, it must start from an entity that was self-existent? And since there is not a second creator, and infinite good could not conceive error, error can only be traced to the misconception of spiritual man. Quote, by man's first disobedience came death into the world and all our woe, unquote. By a false concept, man changed his true concept of the spiritual universe and himself, and brought into existence a physical universe and a physical man. So we see this wrong view of the universe and man started through a supposition that was accepted as fact. And because of this, he became a prodigal and temporarily lost his power. Why can't we say that mortal mind made the flesh and bones body? Answer. We can't say this because that would be saying there is another power besides infinite good. Why can't we say, as some are prone to do, that matter does not exist? Because Mrs. Eddy says, quote, the material body and mind are temporal, unquote. Science and Health has about 20 references to temporal. In science, we know matter is only an illusion. But as illusion, it does seem to exist and must be confronted. There is only one creator, infinite good, and its creation. There is not something else that can be the creator of error. We are the immortal Son of God, but in belief we are the prodigal son who has made a mistake. We must find our way back through learning what we really are and have always been here, now, forever. There is no over there. Mrs. Eddy tells us in many different ways that we must faithfully and persistently train our thoughts in the acknowledgement of the truth of infinite good's presence, to see the omnipresent mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We must see these seven synonyms for God as reality, as that which constitutes our true Christ selfhood, no matter what error tries to tell us. Nothing is ever really present but infinite good and its expression. There is no over there. All is here. I am, quote, alone with my own being and with the reality of things, unquote. Do we realize this when the claim of infinite good's opposite seems to confront us? There is only one I, namely God. Mrs. Eddy comes through loud and clear that this I, or God, is our I too. It is our mind, our principle. As she tells us, all is infinite mind, our mind, and its infinite manifestation, unquote. Lies, hypnotic suggestions about us, have no real mind to emanate from. Declare the truth vehemently, if necessary. And if the healing isn't instantaneous, go not back to error. But every time the suggestion of something the opposite of infinite good tries to enter, stand porter and declare the truth again. Keep this up, and the error fades out. This is true in countless battles. When the arguments of evil are challenged head on, their ability to hold sway diminishes. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, he challenged the tempter head on and won an everlasting victory. He saw that he had all power within his own God mind. How complete was this power? At his last joyful breakfast on the shore of the Galilean Sea, Jesus proved once more to his disciples that all was within their consciousness. They did not need to go fishing for food in the sea. When the disciples arrived on shore, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. We only need to cast the net on the right side, know that the kingdom of God is within our consciousness. Becoming aware of this, we find all good is at hand. Chapter 12. False belief is ignorant of itself. The dream state and false belief. In reality, you, the I of conscious being, are infinite good, God itself in individual manifestation. We are all destined to become aware of this God being that we are. In our sleeping dream, our thinking creates all the circumstance, the whole world, we are aware of. But we are not aware that it is a dream. Everything in the dream seems real to the sleeping sense. It does, doesn't it? Nothing could be more real to the dreamer until we wake up. We are not aware of the cause of the terror, or what we were laughing at, or any other action we may be experiencing in the dream. Not aware it is a mode of consciousness having no other reality than the sense we entertain of it. It is the same in our waking dream. Quote, unwittingly, We sentence ourselves to suffer. It is our ignorance of God that produces apparent discord. Unquote. Compare this dream sense with what Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "The body seems to be self-acting only because mortal mind, false belief, is ignorant of itself, of its own action, and of their results. Ignorant that the predisposing, remote, and exciting cause of all bad effects is a law of so-called mortal mind, not of matter." Unquote. This ignorance is the cause of all our sin, sickness, misery, and death. Quote, "It seems to the material senses that pain, etc., are in the lungs or elsewhere in matter. But the fact is that pain or suffering is no more in the body or in matter in our waking states than it is in our night dream, for both states are dreams and not the reality of being." Unquote. This is what the prodigal son found out. He learned that belief is both the tempter and the tempted, the sin and the sinner, the disease and its cause. The sin is believing we live in a matter body. The dream analogy tells us it is exactly the same with all of us in our awake experience. At present, we seem to be in a state of amnesia, not being sure who and what we are. We only know we are. Jesus and Mrs. Eddy came to awaken us from this amnesic trauma, teaching us there is no more objective reality to a person we see when we are awake than there is to a person we see in our dream, since, quote, "the Christian Scientist is always alone with his own being and with the reality of things." We experience the bad dream sensations until we wake up. Then the dream creations vanish, for the dream sense is all that constitutes the creations. You saw solid objects in your dream, but there was no objectification of them. Mrs. Eddy makes it clear that mortals are no more material in their waking hours than when they act, walk, see, or hear, enjoy, or suffer in dreams. That which is termed materiality is no more solid or concrete than the objects you see in your dream. Once we become aware that we don't have a matter body, but are just constituted of God qualities, what can hurt or touch us? When the amnesia is gone, you will know who you are. You will never again depend on an outside source and will know your real self cannot be improved, since it is now and forever perfect. The warfare is only between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. When Mrs. Eddy wrote, "The Christian Scientist is alone, all one with the infinitude of ideas, with his own being and with the reality of things," we can see it is like experiences in dreams. All the life we are aware of that seems to be out there is really our own life in the dream, isn't it? I am one alone. When I dream, don't I live the life of all persons or animals in my dream? I and all the other people in my dream are simply different aspects of my thinking. The hypnotic suggestion of the birth, life, and death of billions of people, separate individuals, is the lie. There is always only one in multivarious disguises. I am all. Mine is an individual kingdom. It is the kingdom of God within me. All the while we are in this mortal dream, the Christ beckons, quote, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Unquote. The door out of this mortal dream is everywhere. Everywhere you are is the door to infinite good's holy creation. It calls to us, "Open the door to me, to the divine I within you, and experience the end of your prodigal journey." We spend a lifetime looking for happiness on the outside, when all the while it is within us. No one is going to do for us what we must do for ourselves. We are in paradise now. Only hypnotism makes us believe otherwise. But through the last edition of the textbook, we can grasp our true being in its structure, thus making the textbook our impersonal and only teacher. Jesus knew this. Of him, Mrs. Eddy says, "His true and conscious being never left heaven for earth, even while mortals believed it was here." He once spoke of himself as the Son of Man which is in heaven. Remarkable words, as wholly opposed to the popular view of Jesus' nature. You and I never left heaven for earth. Only in the dream state do we indulge the material sense of things. Jesus' physical sufferings, which came from the testimony of the senses, were over when he resumed his individual spiritual being, after showing us the way to escape from the material body, from the dream of life in matter. Suppose you are asleep and dream you are sick and in need of help. Just to illustrate, let's say the person safely asleep in the bed is your real self, and the person in the dream is your personality, or corresponds to it. If the one in the dream was able to see the nothingness of his pain and sickness and his need for help, he would wake up, that is, lose his life. But he wouldn't be losing anything, since it is not real. It is all suppositional. Nothing would be lost because all the time the real man is safe and healthy in a warm bed. Again, everything in your night dream seemed very real, but it was only as real as the sense you entertained of it, wasn't it? And when you woke up, you realized, didn't you, that it was a mode of consciousness and could have no other reality than the sense you entertained of it. This is what we will realize when we awaken from the Adam dream of life in matter that we presently entertain. Could anything really touch the body you had in the dream? No, because it wasn't a matter body. In the same way in the waking dream, when through spiritual education we find we don't have a matter body, we cannot be touched because we are just God qualities, diseaseless, ageless, endless, and ever harmonious. Once we understand we don't have a matter body, we will find ourselves in a state of boundless bliss. In Christian Science, we learn, quote, "All must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit. In proportion as this is done, man and the universe will be found harmonious and eternal." Our mistakes must be corrected. Unless we look beneath the Adam dream and see who we are, it is not possible to know why we are here, where we came from, or where we are going. But becoming aware of who we are, one with God, principle, our mind, and its idea being one, we, like the prodigal son, will say, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Then shall we know, "I came forth from the Father, and am coming to the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." Jesus knew of the glory he had with infinite good before the dream of life in matter overtook him. Quote, "Only by losing the false sense of soul, true identity, self-sameness with God, can we gain the eternal unfolding of life as immortality brought to light." Unquote. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," meaning that the conceiver of the beginning of mortal mind would be free from this false conception. Mortal mind had a beginning. It did not exist prior to its beginning. The spiritual man antedated his false conception. Therefore, he will still exist after the error, the mist, is cleared away. We are all spiritual, mental beings. We have had pre-existence with the whole of infinite good, spirit, mind, as Jesus maintained when he prayed, "Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was, before this dream overtook me." Our single greatest need and want is to experience our radical and prior wholeness. But do we, through ignorance, unconsciously resist it? Are we unwilling to risk losing our own little ego that we cling to for personal identity? As one with the mind that is love, each one contains the information of the whole. By correcting our mental errors, seeing through the hypnotism enslaving us, we can regain our spiritual perfect state of being. How do we do this? By learning the science of our being. Mrs. Eddy tells us, "Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thought." The marginal heading here is, "Thoughts are things." Spiritual education must teach us to see what is truly there. Evil never existed as an entity. Therefore, because evil does not exist as an entity, acting independently of man's thinking, but is the false belief of the spiritual man, the man you are here and now, it is possible to erase every vestige of error in proportion as man overcomes belief in evil. Our work is learning to disbelieve what our eyes see. To every human being who sees the sun rise, it appears the sun is rising. Who sees the earth turning and the sun stationary? But we know the sun is not rising, though to all appearance we see it rising. Now, since we vividly see the sun rising, why today don't we believe the sun is rising? We disregard it because we have learned better. If we can disregard what our eyes tell us in this instance, why do we believe our eyes when we see sickness and other discords? How can we say that what the eyes see one minute must be the truth, when what they see the next minute is a lie, an illusion, hypnotic suggestion? We say this error is true because I see it. Truly, having eyes, we see not, as Jesus said. This and countless other instances show us we cannot rely on the five physical senses. They see and know only what they have been educated to see and know. What the eyes see has nothing to do with what is really there. You can see 2 times 2 equals 5 on the blackboard, but since you have learned that 2 times 2 equals 4, it does not fool you. Like Jacob, we need to wrestle with false beliefs until we find we are here and now the spiritual man that is overcoming evil. Only by uncovering the original sin through spiritual education can we finally wake up from the Adam dream to truthfully say, "There is one God, infinite good." Chapter 13. You are principle, mind. First edition contains elemental completeness. In sermons preached before Mrs. Eddy's time, Jesus' most powerful sayings, such as his instruction to Philip, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," and again, "I and the Father are one," were seldom, if ever, mentioned. A reader quickly notices in the first edition of Science and Health that Mrs. Eddy often quotes, "I and the Father are one," and builds her arguments around the oneness. On page 210 we read, "On this statement that I, capital I, is God and not man, was built the Church of Christ." Boldly, unequivocally, she states, "The belief that God has a separate being from you and me leads to multitudinous errors." Mrs. Eddy's first edition of Science and Health flooded the world with the light of revelation. The individual rays of light cannot be detached from their source, nor from their harmony with each other. The standpoint of the first edition is that we are the God-crowned woman. We are the principle that is one with its idea. When we examine her deepest teaching, we find there are not God and man, there are not two, there is only one, namely, principle and its idea is one. There is only the infinite good we call God, the kingdom of God within our consciousness, expressing itself as what we call man. This is why in the first edition of Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, Jesus regarded himself principle, and tells us we would be greatly benefited if we too regarded ourself principle. This principle is constituted of mind, spirit, soul, and expresses itself as life, truth, and love, which you are. In Christian Science, we learn that the principle, which we are, namely the kingdom of God within our consciousness, has to have an expression, and, quote, man is the expression of God's, your mind's, being, unquote. There isn't God and man. There is only the infinite good we call God, your own divine mind and principle, expressing itself as man, as what looks like you and me. This is why Mrs. Eddy could teach her students that healing is like sculpturing. The true model is in the thought before it becomes phenomenally expressed. Because the goodness that is one with infinite good is an animating, vitalizing, dynamic presence, there is no power that can destroy it. In the first edition of Science and Health, we read, let go the belief you live in matter, and personality will be swallowed up in the boundless love that shadows forth man, and beauty, immortality, and blessedness be the glorious proof of existence you recognize. This is not losing man nor robbing God, but finding yourself more blessed as principle than person, as God than man, as soul than sense, and yourself and neighbor one. Other salient truths from the first edition. Mrs. Eddy's first edition is very clear concerning our true nature, that we are spirit and spirit is God is undeniably true. Again, regarding body, she writes, we are spirit, but knowing this not, we go on to vainly suppose ourselves body and not soul. On page 77, we read, the final understanding that we are spirit, a synonym for God, must come. On page 65, she writes, when we are spirit, we shall have gained the high import of this scripture, I and the Father are one, and shall find that I signifies soul, a synonym for God, and not body. Speaking of Jesus, she says, he who was God, and not in man, taught us principle is God, and God is love. Note, he who was God. Isn't that an amazingly frank and unequivocal statement? Is it any wonder that Mrs. Eddy had to hide this blunt truth? Of course.